Ladies and gentlemen, we are live!
BX Sports Jedi Network, MMA Weekly, Austin Shepped in. I am one half of the co-host of the MMA program. I'm Austin, and it's been a minute since we've done a video. It's been a while since I've done these. My apologies, life got in the way, things happened, and so we haven't been able to do it. And I haven't done it in a while, and I miss doing these, and I wanted to do a video, so I'm going to do a video right now. And definitely going to do more videos, especially considering what's going on this summer, the UFC, especially the pay-per-views. I mean, the pay-per-views, whew, are stacked. I mean, my goodness, 290, 291, 292, all pretty damn good. Especially they all, hopefully they all stay, no major fights get canceled. Hopefully everyone can make the fights healthy and safely, and we get these great fights. I mean, they're pretty damn good. I mean, you can't deny how good these fights are, these next upcoming pay-per-view cards. A lot of things going on in MMA, too. A lot of stuff. You won championship. You went to America, finally. Bellator, there's going over there. You know, Bellator's looking for a partner. PFL's doing their thing as well. And what I mean by partner, Bellator's looking for someone to, you know, partner with, Viacom. You know, looking for, like, a suitor to buy Bellator, so that way they can work with them in partnership, etc. Also, with the billionaires, which I'm definitely going to talk about at the end of the video, Elon freaking Zuckerberg, I mean, Mike. I'm sorry, I cannot laugh thinking about that. It's just, like, so ridiculous. It's so funny. And I'm for it, believe it or not. I know it's a distraction of the day, but I'm for this, believe it or not, with Zuckerberg and freaking Elon. But Dana White and his freaking hypocrisy. I'm sorry. I can't admit. okay. I'll talk about it in the video because I don't want to be laughing anyway. Let's talk about what happened this past weekend in Jacksonville, UFC and ABC, between Josh Emmett and Ilia Topuria. Let me get the banner ready and stuff like that. Anyway, here we go. Poirier, important fight in the featherweight division as Ilia Topuria tries to climb the rankings and get closer to that title fight and stay undefeated. That's the one thing that we forget sometimes is Topuria is undefeated and hasn't lost in his career. And ladies and gentlemen, he stayed undefeated. He dominated Josh Emmett. He won this fight clearly, decisively. A judge gave him a 10-7 in round 4, which is something you rarely see in MMA, a 10-7. That is, like, super rare in this sport. I mean, that's crazy to think about. I mean, round four was his best round. All the judges gave at least 10-8, but Chris Lee decides to give him a 10-7, as you see on the screen. That's just absurd. Crazy to think about. I mean, a 10-7. Topuria just, this was the biggest fight of his career, his first main event, and he freaking dominated. He freaking had his best performance. And that's the thing I've noticed with Topuria, his last couple fights, because, hang on, let me just sneeze real quick, and then sorry about that, I had a sneeze, but yeah, that's the one thing I've noticed with Topuria, is that his last fight was against Bryce Mitchell, it was on pay-per-view, opening fight pay-per-view against a ranked opponent, beat Bryce Mitchell, I mean, he finished him, looked great in that fight, it's a very great performance, and then here, in a bigger fight, and main event of a main card, goes out there and freaking has his best performance of his career so far. I mean, he didn't finish Emmett, but Emmett's tough. I mean, this guy's got heart, this guy's got a chin, I mean, this dude, he took a beating. I mean, look at this picture right here. I know this picture probably doesn't do the best justice, but in terms of how the beating he took, but look, I mean, look at this right here. If you see, look at his face, all bruised, all beat up. I mean, man, yeah, it's rough night at the office, as they say. Jeez, I mean, he got beat up. I mean, Topuria just kept picking apart, just damaging him, beating him up badly. And the thing was, Emmett, he kept throwing a lot of power shots. I mean, Emmett relied a little bit too much on his power at times. I mean, yeah, he's got power. Look what he did with Carl Lawrence and Michael Johnson, to where you knock those dudes out like that. I mean, Emmett could knock a dude out like that any moment. But he sometimes relied too much on that power. Topuria just kept picking apart with combinations and etc. And the one thing about Topuria is that Topuria, most of the fight, had good defense. Kept a good guard and dodge a lot of his Emmett shots, but there were a few times where Emmett did land some shots on Topuria, and he kind of, you know, stunned Topuria just a little bit, but Topuria just walked it off and you know, basically did a smart thing, which is basically go out and, you know, get away from Emmett. Don't let Emmett hit you too many shots, because he obviously knows that Emmett can knock out anyone any given night. So can Topuria. Topuria's got a lot of finishes too. He can knock out anyone any given night either, as you hear my dog in the background. But anyway, yeah, I mean, both these guys have finishing ability, and Topuria, like, always had great defense, was able to block, you know, cover his face, and was able to, you know, get out a lot of Emmett's shots, even the one, you know, and when Emmett did land, Topuria was smartly got out of the way, made sure Emmett didn't land too many of them shots, and Topuria really just put on him. And, I mean, there was one round, I think it might have been round four, it looked like Emmett was done, where Topuria did do some ground and pound too in that fight, in that round rather. And man, I'm impressed by Topuria. This was so impressive. I mean, here's a picture of him laying a body shot on freaking Emmett. As once this image loads, you'll see it, right? It's not appearing on my screen. Hopefully it's appearing on your screen. As I see it, yep, there you go. Look at that body shot. Left to the body on Josh Emmett right there. I mean, this was just, man, what a tip your hat. If I had a hat, tip it to freaking Topuria. Stays undefeated, and you know what? After what he did, he should fight for the title next. You know, before I was thinking if Topuria wins, he should fight Holloway next. You know, if he beats Holloway, then gets a title, then he should get a title fight. Because to me, Holloway is going to beat Korean Zombie in August. I'll be shocked if Zombie beat Holloway. That would be shocking as all. You know what? If he does beat freaking Zombie, if Zombie does beat Holloway, but after what Topuria did, screw that. He should fight for the title next. If Alexander Volkanovski does beat Yair Rodriguez, it should be Volkanovski Topuria next for the title. He's earned it. He dominated Josh Emmett. Guy's been ranked in the top 10, top 5, through the top 10 the last, like, what, 6-7 years, since 2017 at least. And he just schooled him like that. Arguably did better, he schooled him just as good as Yair, even. I know Yair got the finish, you'll get the nod to Yair, but this was just as good as Yair's performance against Emmett earlier in February in Australia. And this was just, wow, what a performance, man. This guy, Topuria, this dude's the truth. I mean, this guy is legit, and this guy is definitely someone who will be champion potentially. I think he will be champion. I'll be shocked if Topuria doesn't become a champion in this division or any division. I'll be stunned. And the featherweight division definitely needs someone like Topuria, because let's be honest, if Yair loses to Volkanovski, it's not a lot of guys that you get excited about for Volkanovski to fight. He already beat Holloway three times. I think Holloway won the second fight really twice, but still, he dominated in the dirt fight. He destroyed Holloway. I mean, you've seen the fight, you know what beating he gave to Holloway. Also, I mean, yeah, Aaron Allen's ranked, but he just lost to Holloway. You know, Emma just lost. I mean, there's no one really, if Yair loses, no one really exciting for Volkanovski to fight besides the Poirier, where it's like a fun matchup where it's exciting. You get excited to see how Volkanovski handles the Poirier if you were to get by Yair, obviously, next weekend. And I'll talk more about that fight next weekend, obviously, next week. Because that's a big main event for next weekend. But yeah, it's a Poirier-Gibbon style fight. If I'm to Poirier, I'm not going back to Spain. I'm staying in America. I'm going to be in Vegas next weekend for that fight. If I'm him, definitely staying to watch that fight live. Yeah, he should. It'd be a smart decision. And to Poirier, by the way, has a chance to be a star, a global star, a potential superstar maybe, because the guy speaks good English. He speaks Spanish. He lives in Spain. He's from Georgia originally, the country, in the Caucasus Mountains near Russia and Dagestan. And so he's got, you know, that connection to that region over there. Also, he's got connected to that Caucasus Mountain region, Russian, old Soviet-like region, Russian sphere of influence. Also lives in Spain, in the Spanish market. Can speak good Spanish, so he can definitely appeal to the Spanish market, not just Spain, but also Latin America even. I know it's Spain and Latin America are differences, but, you know, speak similar language, similar aspects of the culture, etc. Obviously, Latin America is descended from the Spanish Empire, obviously. But still, and also speak to good English. And also, Sergio Ramos, for those of you who don't know, he's like a big time soccer player over in Spain. And he was there in Jacksonville to support Ilia Topuria. And he was giving him a shout out too on Instagram, etc. And I saw on my social media, UFC posted him supporting Ilia Topuria, and he gave him a shout out. And I'm not a big soccer guy, but I'm somewhat familiar with him. I was somewhat familiar with him, that's what I'm trying to say, as I got lost in my thoughts or what I was trying to say there. He is a big star in soccer and over there. And that's something I was familiar with the name, vaguely familiar with the name, but once, I really learned more about him, I realized, he's really a big deal over there. Plus, that's what I heard from other people who in Europe as well, that he's a big deal. So someone like Sergio Ramos is a big star in soccer, supporting someone like Topuria, especially in Spain, where both guys play in. I think, I'm not sure if Ramos is Spanish or not. I didn't do the research there, but that definitely gives popularity to increase Topuria's popularity, especially in Spain. And if he keeps winning, keeps having great performances, he needs to get support, get the back end. People like Sergio Ramos, Topuria could be a potential superstar, like legit, when you really think about it. So something to keep your eyes out on. Anyway, look, I'll transition from there, from that fight, to the co-main event, which is between Macy Barber and Mina Hibas, as Macy Barber wins via second round TKO. Fun fight, entertaining fight. Both women brought it, both women hurt each other. I mean, Macy Barber did damage Hibas' nose in the first round, where her nose was leaking for most of the fight. I think Anik said it was a left that caught her. I thought it looked like, some people thought it was an elbow, but it was a left. I believe it was what John Anik said. I think they showed the replay too in the beginning of the second round. And Hibas was doing well in this fight. Hibas, early on in the first round, was actually landing some good shots on Barber. Barber was also landing her shots her own. But Hibas did well too. And Hibas, went for a takedown in the first. I'm trying to remember. There was a sequence where Hibas was grabbing onto Barber's leg, and Barber just kept ground and pounding her, just hitting her. And Hibas just kept holding on to that leg. And, I don't know if she was going for a leg lock or something. I don't know what she was trying to do. And I don't know why she kept holding on. She just let go and try to get up, because Barber was laying some good ground and pounding in that first round, to the point where Key Pearson could have stopped. It looked like, while I was watching, I thought, Key Pearson might stop her. Hibas, be careful, or else you're going to get beat up badly to where the ref has to stop it. But it didn't happen. Also, Barber did decent in the grappling exchanges, because Hibas is the better grappler, initiates in the grappling exchanges. But Barber was able to survive and get out of the exchanges too. And Barber is a little bit bigger, because Hibas is not exactly a big girl. I mean, she's for flyweight at least. This was in flyweight division, not strawweight, as Barber's a flyweight and Hibas goes up and down through flyweight and strawweight. And Barber's she's a more natural flyweight than Hibas. Hibas is more of a natural strawweight, especially the height. T-Boss was listed as 5'3", Barber's 5'5", and Barber seems is someone who's used to the flyweight class, while T-Boss, like, usually fights in mostly strawweight, but sometimes will fight flyweights. Yeah, and I think her being the bigger woman definitely helped in the situation in terms of the gravity exchanges, in my opinion, but also technique too. Also, Barbara's been working on her technique. She has improved since when she debuted in the UFC. You can tell Macy Barber is in better, which is a good thing for her. She's only 25 too, which is something you forget. She's still young. I mean, she got in UFC super young. She wanted to be youngest champion. Obviously, didn't happen, but she's 25 still, improving, getting better. I mean, Macy Barber, I mean, she could, who knows, she could be a legit title contender, potentially. She could be, wouldn't be surprised. Also, let me talk about the second round real quick. I mean, T-Boss did well. I mean, she busted up, Macy's nose or mouth. Like, Macy was bleeding from her mouth. I was like, oh, wow, both these women are bleeding. And T-Boss landed several good shots at Macy Barber. I mean, both of the women were landing good, solid shots in the stand-up. But he got caught with a high kick from Barber, you know, I believe left or right. And then when I remember, Barber landed another kick that went on T-Boss, and T-Boss got hit with, I think, a right that wobbled her or dropped her. And then, no, I think it wobbled her, and then she went for a takedown, and Barber was able to just ground and pound her until the fight was over. Or she did drop T-Boss with a right. I'm forgetting what happened. My apologies there. By the way, she hurt T-Boss badly. They both finished T-Boss as T-Boss got hit with locked down and pound, and Keith Pearson saw enough to stop the fight. I mean, you know, when he stopped it, he looked like T-Boss did grab a hold of her body, but I think that was more so the referee stopping the fight, and Barber stopped throwing punches once the referee got involved. More so than T-Boss was still in the fight, because T-Boss did take some decent amount of shots in the finishing sequences. By the way, great performance from Macy Barber, her best performance of her career, just in my opinion, arguably, considering some of her wins were very lackluster going into before this fight. And I did mention how she was improving and stuff like that. She was. I mean, she has been improving, but also there were times in her career where she was winning these lackluster fights too. It was like, eh. Where it seemed like she didn't understand the distance game. She was like striking from too far away. But this performance has shown that she is getting better, and she's improving too. Against someone, Amanda T-Boss, which is like the best opponent she's probably fought and beaten at this point too. So she's going to get better. She's 25, improving, and good job, Macy Barber. We'll see what's next for her. Great, good performance for her. Fun fight. As we go from there, I'm going to talk briefly about the third fight, because not a lot happened. Austin Lane and Justin Tafa. Unfortunately, Austin Lane poked Tafa in the eye, and Tafa couldn't see, and the fight had to be called off. Sucks, because Austin Lane, I believe, is from Jacksonville. I know he's an NFL player. I don't know if he played in Jacksonville for the Jaguars, or is from Jacksonville originally. I'm not too sure, but it was his UFC debut, and the crowd was really pro Austin Lane, right? Which makes sense, considering he's flying out of Jacksonville. He's got connections to the city, and the UFC, and unfortunately for his UFC debut, did not go as planned, and no contest. So that's a shame, and hopefully they do run that back, and both guys can see who's a better fight of the two, potentially. And it was just, you know, terrible fight. I mean, terrible way for the fight to end, excuse me. I wouldn't say it was a terrible fight, but it's an awful way for a fight to end, basically. No contest, eye poke, no one wants to see that. UFC really needs to adopt the Pride gloves. I mean, I don't know why UFC doesn't do it. They own Pride. If you watch Pride back in the day, in the 2000s, which was the rival company for the UFC, at one point it was the biggest MMA promotion. It was better than UFC at one point, for most of its existence, but that's another story for another day. But Pride had gloves where it was curved, where your hands were curved like this, so that way it basically made super hard eye poke. Like, you rarely ever saw eye pokes in Pride. I'm not gonna say never, because it might have happened, but it was rare, because the way the gloves are, your fists were like this. Instead of UFC gloves, where your fists are like this, if you just wear your gloves and went like this, it's easier to eye poke someone, as I'm demonstrating to video for those who listen to audio. And I don't know why UFC doesn't adopt the Pride gloves. They own Pride. They can just do it. Just, you know, make it black with the UFC gloves, where the fists are like this, to where you can still grapple, still throw punches, etc. It just eliminates the eye pokes. It makes it less often. I don't know why they don't do that, but it's another story for another day. Also, true, women invented gloves that kind of eliminate too. I don't know why they don't use true women's gloves. I don't know, man. I don't give the UFC sometimes. Like, why don't they just do that? It would make more sense, in my opinion, because no one wants to fight eye pokes. That eye pokes suck. Everyone hates eye pokes, man. Especially if fights end like that, it's just terrible. Either way, we'll move on. We'll go on to the next fight in the card, which is between David Onama and Gabriel Santos. Onama gets the second round KO. I mean, this was a great fight. A great knockout for Onama, because Onama was losing the fight. Gabriel Santos was doing very well in the striking department, and was going for several submissions too. He almost got an armbar, but Onama got out in the first round. Had a body triangle, I believe, in the second round. It could be first round. He had a body triangle when I was able to escape. Onama did escape from some submissions, and credit to him. Well, he was getting beat up though. Stand up is getting picked apart. I mean, there was one point where Onama got hit with a body kick that Onama's lucky his head didn't dip lower, because if it did, instead of the body kick, it would have been a head kick and they probably could have knocked him out. And, you know, Onama did land a couple of shots at Santos at times, but Santos was just the better fighter, the more active fighter, and also. Oh, I should say, he was, for most of the fight, he looked like the better fighter and was just hurting. He was just doing a good job against Onama, but Onama caught him with the uppercut. I believe it was an uppercut that knocked him out, if I'm mistaken. He had an uppercut and something else, I believe, that basically knocked him out. I mean, I wish I remember what the sequence was. I hate the fact I forget. But it is, but you can watch the knockout for yourself to see what it was. I mean, but I'm pretty sure it was an uppercut. Great knockout for Onama. Great, good performance. Good comeback fight, because he was losing that fight clearly going, you know, before the knockout. And yeah, good performance. Hopefully Onama can, you know, use this to, you know, motivate, you know, this could be a stepping stone. I mean, not stepping stone. This could be something that could use to, I think that's the correct term. This could be like, a stepping stone for his career as he, you know, advances, hopefully gets better. It looked like he was getting tired too. Definitely needs to work on. I mean, I don't know if maybe it was just the grappling exchanges or what, but obviously, I'm pretty sure Onama's going to work on his cardio, maybe work on his, you know, finishing defense, etc. I mean, Onama's a guy who going into this fight was 10-2, if I'm mistaken. So, Onama's a good fighter. I mean, got power, so you got to watch out for that if you're just going to fight David Onama in the future. Good performance by him. Gabriel Santos, I think, will bounce back. He had a good record, too, going into this fight, and he was doing well. I mean, Gabriel Santos is a good fighter, and he's only, 26 or 25? Yeah, 26 or something like that. Young, so still improving. Yeah, good fight for both guys. Hang on, give me one moment there. Let me just take care of this. My apologies. Give me one moment. Sorry about that. Just had to make sure I only had too much noise in the background. My apologies there, but forgot to close the door. Anyway, the first fight in the main card, Brandon Allen. Great victory. He's won 5 in a row, defeats Bruno Silva via submission, rear naked choke, and in the first round. Brandon Allen's a guy to watch out for. This guy is what, 26, 27? On a 5-fight win streak, he won 7 of his last 9 fights. You know, Yeah, he lost to Sean Strickland, then went 1-2 in a row, lost to Chris Curtis, then he's won 5 in a row. I mean, he beat Andre Menez, which shocked me, because I thought Menez was going to beat him, because I thought Menez was a guy to watch out for in that division. Which, he still can be a player in this division, a guy who can do great things, but I didn't think Brandon Allen was going to beat Menez. That shocked me big time, but he did beat him, so great performance, and he had a good fight against Silva. Bruno Silva did land a couple of shots on him. But Brandon Allen survived, Brandon Allen didn't take too many shots from Bruno Silva, thankfully, for his sake. But Ray Allen was able to hurt Silva. I mean, he hit him with a right that landed on his ear, I believe, around his ear area. Then landed a right hook that dropped him. And then Ray Allen transitioned to like the submission game and was able to get Riddick a choke and tap him out. And Brandon Allen's a very good submission guy, too. I believe he's got like a lot of submission victories. I'm not mistaken. I want to say 14 or 15 submission victories. Let me look it up real quick. Should be real quick. I know he's known for a submission guy, Brandon Allen. Even though, I mean, that's why I was surprised to beat Menez, because I submitted him, too, because I thought Menez was a better submission guy than him. But Allen's pretty good in submissions, too. He's better than I thought. Oh yeah, 13 submissions he has, according to Sure Dog. So yeah, his last three victories are submissions. So don't get in the ground, Brandon Allen. He will submit you. You gotta be careful. Especially if he rocks you too. And he's sure he's got decent striking too. I mean, Brandon Allen's a guy who I think is definitely someone who's gonna be a factor in his middleweight division going forward. Against a good guy, a good tough guy, Bruno Silva, who's got a lot of knockouts in his career. You know, took some shots from Silva. But when survived, thankfully didn't take too many for his sake, like I said, and was able to win. He called out Jared Cannonier for a title eliminator, even though he's on the win streak. And I think not a lot of guys in the middleweight division are on win streaks, besides maybe Duplessis and Whitaker. Obviously, they're going to fight next weekend, and we're going to fight Israel Adesanya. But he can't. I mean, I don't blame him for making that call out, honestly, but it's not going to happen. I mean, they're too far apart in the rankings. I don't see UFC doing it. I don't see Cannonier accepting that first at all. But I can't blame for that call out. I do think he should fight someone like Jack Hermanson next or someone else in the top 10. I think he definitely deserves a ranked opponent after what he did. Personally, he deserves it. Who? I have no idea. I mean, I could say Hermanson, maybe. Hermanson, that's a suggestion. But I don't know if he's going to take that. Plus, Hermanson might have a fight coming up soon, so I have no idea. I mean, why not? I mean, who knows? What's next for Brandon Allen, but definitely deserves someone ranked. Good fight, good performance. And yeah, I didn't watch the prelims. I mean, I saw the Neil Magny. Actually, I did see the Neil Magny fight. Good performance by Neil Magny, but I didn't exactly pay attention too much to where I could break it down like I should have. I'll be honest with you. But Neil Magny won the fight. And another victory for him. It was a good performance based on what I saw against Philip Rowe, who's a somewhat local guy. He lives, trains out here in Orlando, but the fight was in Jacksonville, but still, Jacksonville was only like 2-hour drive from Orlando, so it's not that far. A lot of people from Orlando can get to Jacksonville. It's not that far as you think. I've been in Jacksonville. I was surprised how quick it was. It took as long as I thought it was going to be when I went to Jacksonville from Orlando. But anyway, besides the point. Good victory for Neil Magny, and yeah, that's the UFC on ABC review, Emmett versus Topuria. Great victory for Topuria. Title fight next, potential star in the making. Missy Barber, great best performance of her career. Hopefully this might be the beginning of something for Missy Barber, potentially. Maybe she goes on a win streak and establishes herself as a title contender by the end of next year, potentially. And hopefully they redo the Tafa and Austin Lane fight. Also, good victory for Onama, great comeback, and also Brandon Allen, someone to watch out for in the middleweight division. As a transition from there to the next weekend, which is going to take place in Apex, the UFC Fight Night, Sean Strickland versus Abu Magomedov, which is get the banner ready, etc. I believe it's at 7 p.m. Yeah, the main card starts at 7. The prelims start at 4 o'clock. As Sean Strickland takes on Abu Magomedov in Magomedov's first main event. This is his second fight in the UFC. He's already main event in a fight night. And he's fighting someone ranked too. Sean Strickland, who's a top, I believe top, yeah, he's top 10 middleweight. Kind of crazy to think about. And before I talk about that fight, I do want to talk about the prelims real quick, because there's some things about the prelims that kind of like surprised me. Like, first of all, Kevin Lee's in the prelims. I'm surprised Kevin Lee, of all people, in the prelims. You know, I'm not the biggest Kevin Lee guy. This is a guy who was ranked in the UFC at one point. This is a guy who's well known among MMA fans. I think most MMA fans, not all of them, know who Kevin Lee is. This is a guy who, like I say, was ranked, fought for the interim title against Tony Ferguson in 2017. And yeah, he's in the prelims. And it's kind of weird, especially in the fight night, too. Like, I would think he'd be a main card. Kind of surprising there. I know his opponent's not well-known, but he's well-known. You would think just for that alone, he'd be in the main card. Also, Alexander Romanov, who's ranked too, if I'm mistaken, is fighting Blagoy Ivanov in the opening fight of the prelims. Weird. Romanov is ranked, and yet Ivanov is a guy who has been ranked before, who's not far away from the rankings. I mean, if he beats Romanov, he could be ranked potentially. He's not that far off. And yet they're in the prelims, the opening fight of the prelims. That's just a fight night. That's just so weird. I don't get that, the UFC, these decisions. I mean, actually, the Ivanov and Romanov fight, maybe because they're both European, like Eastern European, and obviously it's 4 o'clock, the main opening, the prelims start, and over there in Eastern Europe, probably what, 9, 10, 11-ish, night, midnight maybe? I'm not sure what's the time difference between Moldova and Bulgaria into the United States. I know Bulgaria, or even us from Bulgaria, and Romanov's from Moldova. So I'm not sure like, what is the time difference between the United States and those two nations. Now I think about it, it doesn't make sense. The more I think about that fight, in terms of why it's in the early prelims. By the way, it's just surprising. Anyway, let's talk about the main card. Sean Strickland versus Abdulmagomedov. I'm a Sean Strickland fan. I love Sean Strickland. I'm a fan. He's got, you know, a good fighting style, but it's more so his personality. This dude is one of the fucking funniest dudes, excuse my language, funniest dudes in the UFC. This guy is, like, such a character. He's just so real. No one's like Sean Strickland. He is who he is. Strickland is a freaking nut job, and I love the dude. I want to interview Sean Strickland. I would love to meet Sean Strickland. I would get along with Sean Strickland. So many people love Strickland. He's just out there. He just doesn't care. He doesn't give a fuck. Let's just be honest about what he just says. What he says, and he's freaking entertaining for the most part. His personality and his fights. Sometimes fights are decent. Sometimes they're good. You know, he's not exactly Dustin Poirier or freaking Justin Gaethje in terms of excitement, in terms of fights. But he's not exactly a lame prey guy either. You know, if you catch my drift. I mean. And he's a good fighter. I mean, he's a guy who's managed to stay in the top 10 in the middleweight division. To my opinion, beat Jared Cannonier in that fight. I think the judges got it wrong, but it is what it is. And he's come off an impressive victory over Nazanin Imanov on a 1 week's notice. Then you got Abdulmagomedov, who's come off a first-round knockout over, what's this dude's name? Dustin Stofus, I think that's how you say his name. And back in September. And yeah, it's weird. That was his first fight in the UFC. Now he's main eventing. And I guess the UFC really believes in him. They really want... I mean, he's from Dagestan, so that does help. I mean, UFC's obviously really invested in... Really love the Dagestanis. I mean, from Habib to Islam to all the other guys. You know, that Dagestan, Caucasus Mountain region, you know, of Russia, you know, Chechnya, etc. And obviously, those fighters are very popular in the Middle East, too. So, obviously, UFC's very invested in the Middle East because... Abu Dhabi, etc. So may that be part of it as well. But he's getting a big opportunity, and this is if he can beat John Strickland, I mean this will put him in the top 10 for sure in the middleweight division. He might be able to fast track his way, probably get Titleman there next if he does beat Sean Strickland. Now, if he does beat Sean Strickland, I think he has to do it early. He's got to beat him in the first round because if you look at Abdul's victories. A lot of his knockouts, if not all of them, are first round knockouts. And his last fight is in first round knockouts. And, you know, in the UFC, in his other victories in terms of knockouts, first round. Yeah, it seems like all of them are first round knockouts. All his he had a TKO. He does have a TKO in the second round. Early in his career, he has had them, but a lot of his knockout victories are first round knockouts. He's got a decent amount of submissions too on his resume. He's got about 6, I believe. Let me check right now. Yes, 6. So I'm checking Sure Dog right now for that information.
I think it personally would be. I mean, can Magomedov win in the later rounds? Yeah, potentially he can, but I just think if David Strickland, who's done main events, he's been in several main events. His last two fights were main events. They went 5 rounds. He's gone 5 rounds against Jack Hermanson. And I think if Magomedov can't get him out in the first round, I think he's running in world trouble, because I think I don't know how his cardio is going to hold up in five-round fights. I mean, that's not something he's used to in his career. I don't think he's ever done one. Maybe he has. I don't know. I could be wrong. You can correct. I mean, I didn't see any on the Sure Dog record. Maybe he has been. I just don't know. I'm trying to see if he has five-round. I don't know why my computer's acting up. I can't. For some reason, I can't. It's my computer's acting up here. I'm trying to see. No, that's a three-round fight. It's not five-round PFL. Yeah, I think he's done like at least two three-round fights where he's gone full distance, but no five rounds. So this is new territory for him. And I don't know how his cardio is going to hold up considering he's not used to this, where Strickland has proven that he can go five rounds multiple times, at least three times. And if Magomedov can't get him out of the first round, I don't like his chances. I really don't. I think Strickland's going to win because Strickland is not going to fight as stupidly as he did against Alex Pereira last year, where he decided to just leave his chin open, had that weird pose, and just allowed Pereira just to freaking knock him out so too easily. And it's like, I think Strickland knows, okay, I can't do that against someone like this guy who's got knockout power. Obviously, he's not Alex Pereira in terms of his. Alex Pereira is one of the best strikers in all of the UFC, and has great power compared to most fighters. But it doesn't mean Magomedov doesn't have knockout ability. He does have knockout ability. Clearly does, and Strickland, I think he knows I can't just leave my chin open and let this guy catch me. I think Strickland knows got the first round, stay safe, keep you know, try to avoid getting hit, obviously, and keep a high guard. And if I get out of the first round, I probably can beat this dude up, and I think he can. I think he will, personally. That's just my opinion. I could be wrong, but that's what I'm gonna go with. I think Strickland will win and prove why he's top 10. And also another thing. Him being Imanov on Strickland in like a week's notice is, think about it. Imanov, the guy who proved he was a top 15 middleweight, and he took that fight on a week's notice and went five rounds and just schooled Imanov shockingly. He just beat him up. So just had a great dominant, great performance against Imanov. Did better than I expected, and we all expected coming on a week's notice. And just, I mean, the fact he did against someone who's legit top 15 middleweight on a week's notice, and here he's got a whole camp to prepare for someone like him. I expect him to have a similar performance against Magomedov personally because of that. Also, I'm sure he did train Alex Pereira for his camp and went to Connecticut train with him, which kind of makes sense considering Pereira is also a guy who's got power, cannot lose out. Maybe he's doing that so he can work on his striking defense, etc. I mean, it does make sense. I mean, that does make sense, and especially going against someone who's got knockout ability like Magomedov does. So, yeah, putting Sean Strickland. Also on this card, I do want to highlight Grant Dawson and Demir is him. I mean, I don't want to butcher it. I always butcher this dude's name. I just want to make sure my name. I don't butcher this dude's name. Let me just pull up my phone. I had his name here. Come on, phone. My apologies here. I don't know why technology screwed me over. That's Damir Ismagulov. There we go. That's how you say his name. Against Grant Dawson. Does Damir come in his fight 24-2? Grant Dawson 19-1. Dawson, I believe, is ranked. From what I remember, I was checking the rankings not recently. And Dawson, I saw Dawson's name in the rankings. I just forget where in the rankings he's in lightweight division. I know he's top 15. He's definitely top 15, not top 10. Top 15 for sure. And for Grant Dawson, he come up victory over Marco Mattson, I believe it was, his last fight. Let me see. I think it was Marco Mattson. Yeah, that's right, November. He submitted him, who was an Olympic wrestler, Mark Mattson. You know, that was a quick, you know, I know some say it's Greco-Roman, some say Greco-Roman hasn't exactly done well recently in MMA, but still, it's an Olympic wrestler, still impressive. And Marco Mattson was undefeated too. Oh, and that's an impressive victory. You think about it, he'd be a guy who was undefeated, took his win streak away. And I believe he was 12-0-2, if I'm mistaken. And Marco Mattson was. And also, okay, I'm checking the rankings. And Grant Dawson's 15th. Demir is ranked number 12. Okay, he is ranked number 12. And seriously, I didn't recognize that Demir was ranked number 12. For some reason, I thought he was unranked. But thankfully, a check. So this is an important matchup for the lightweight division. The winner of this fight is probably going to move closer to the top 10, get a top 10 opponent next. As like I said, Frank Dawson's record is a 19-1. I mean, 19-1-1. He has a draw. Three fights earlier, he draw against Ricky Glenn, which kind of surprising to think about. He had a draw against Ricky Glenn. And then he beats freaking Marco Madsen, submits him. As Ricky Glenn hasn't exactly done well recently in his fights, as I'm trying to see his record. Because I knew that Ricky Glenn hasn't been on the best streak, but I was trying to see if I was correct. And yeah, he's lost two of his last four fights. He has two losses, one win, and one draw. So, not the best look. But who knows? Maybe that was just an anomaly, and the Marco Madsen fight showed how good he is, Grant Dawson. But like I said, Damaris Ulov, 24-2. I mean, guy's one of those dudes from Russia or like the Soviet, like former Soviet republics, who's like, you know, those tough guys, always very good, always find a way to make fights like difficult for all their opponents, to have a good wrestling background, etc. He has come up a loss over Armin Sarukyan. Well, that's Armin Sarukyan. Armin Sarukyan, in my opinion, is a top six, top five lightweight in the world, in my opinion. Sarukyan's underrated. So Demir is trying to bounce back against Grant Dawson in this fight. The winner of this fight is definitely going to be, you know, keep the ranking, but also probably get top 10 opponent next. And I'm going with Demir. I think Demir wins this fight. I think Demir has probably fought better guys and done better overall in his career, has more victories. And I could see Demir probably win the wrestling exchanges too, and just make it a tough night for Grant Dawson. In my opinion, I could be dead wrong, but that's what I'm going with. That's what I'm leaning towards personally. I think I definitely like Demir's chances, and I could see Demir getting a 3-round decision victory over Grant Dawson. But good co-main event in the lightweight division, which has been the best division according to some people in the UFC for a while now. And this is like called the young unknown, like the lower ranked guys who are all like killers, who are all like great wrestling base, younger, where it's like, man, these guys are gonna, these upcoming lightweights and these guys lower ranked, they can probably beat up a lot of the top ranked lightweights if you think about it, or bigger names. And I mean that's what I think personally. That's a whole discussion for another day. But I do think, yeah, lightweight division is definitely stacked. That's what I'm trying to say. Also, you also got who else you got on this card? Max Griffin against Michael Morales on this card. There's also a fight on this main card. You also got Aaron Lipsky against Melissa Gatto. Ismael Bonifim versus Benoit Saint Denis. And you got Bruno Ferreira versus Nur Sultan Ruzabalov. Like I said, I'm bad at pronunciations. My apologies there. I am not good at pronunciations at all. I am terrible with some of these pronunciations. Sometimes I'm good, sometimes I'm bad. I'm weird like that. I can get some of these names right. I get some of these names wrong. It's a weird thing with me. Especially Greek names I'm terrible with. But anyway, that's the point. Yeah, good fight night card. Great, good co-main event and a good main event. And some interesting fights in the prelims, too. So there's something for everyone in this fight card. Begins at 7 p.m., the main card. Prelims start at 4 on ESPN, the main card. And the prelims are probably going to be ESPN+. Plus. I'm pretty sure you can watch on ESPN+, Plus too, the main card. If that's what you choose to. Anyway, that's my discussion for this upcoming fight night between Sean Strickland and Abus Magomedov. And before I go, I said I was going to talk about it briefly. We got to talk about this. I know it's not quote-unquote serious MMA. It's not. It's really not serious MMA, but it's evolved MMA. And if this fight does happen, let's be real, people. It's the biggest fight in MMA history. It's bigger than Conor Khabib. It probably would be bigger than even the rematch. If, let's say, Conor won two fights in a row and he rematched Khabib, it would be bigger than that fight. It would be bigger than even that potential fight. Not potential, but dream, you know, it'd be bigger than that fight, if that scenario did happen, I mentioned. And that's Elon Musk versus Mark Zuckerberg. Gotta talk about it. Have to. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm grifting off this shit. I don't care. I'm grifting. If these two fight, I might do a watch-along for their fight. I might do it. I'm I got you, man. I'm grifting. I admit it. I'm grifting. Yes. Your boy's grifting here. All right? And so is Dana freaking White. I mean, look at this. Look at this. Look at this picture of Dana White. The UFC is selling Elon Musk versus Mark Zuckerberg t-shirts. I mean, let me see the image appear. Because look at this. See, look at this. Freaking, I saw it yesterday at the UFC's freaking Instagram page. Dana White wearing the shirt and, like, showing off. Like, it's just, it made me laugh so hard. It made me laugh so hard. This is just so ridiculous. I love it, though. Two billionaires decided to fight an octagon. They both decided. I forgot. I think Elon challenged Zuck. Zuck accepted. They said Vegas. I think Elon said Vegas or whoever. They agreed to it. I forget how it goes. I know Elon. I believe Elon did challenge Zuckerberg. And Dana White's like super serious too. He wants to make the freaking fight. This is a guy who says, I don't do weird. I do serious fights. I don't do freak show fights. You know, or I forgot what he said. Okay, make fights, whatever. In terms of we talk about the YouTube boxing scene, whatever. And yeah, he wants to do this fight. Like, oh, Dana, please. And I don't blame him too. I don't blame him. Listen, this will be the biggest fight in MMA history. This is Elon Musk, Mark Zuckerberg, two people who everybody knows. Most people around the world know these two are. Two billionaires fighting each other. I know you're probably wondering, like, damn, will the commissions allow it? Part of me says yes, because they're billionaires. They can just pay off the commissions. I mean, come on now. They can easily say, hey, guys, here's a little cash. You know, let's fight. You know, let's do our thing. Come on now. You make money. Us together. You know what I mean? I mean, I can see them doing that stuff, the commission. I mean, if you're Nevada, you say no, that'd be foolish, in my opinion. Any commission says no, be foolish. I mean, could the commissions be that stingy? Be like, nah, potentially. It'll be dumb, because if that's the case, I mean, they might as well just go internationally, fight somewhere internationally that allows it. I mean, Zuckerberg and Elon Musk is a Japanese freak show fight. You know, in Japanese MMA, how they have the serious fights, but they also have the freak show fights they love. I mean, it's really up that alley, considering they're both. I mean, Elon's actually 51, Zuckerberg's 39. You know, I thought Zuckerberg was a little bit older. I thought Elon was still in his 40s, but still. And to be honest with you, like, I honestly, I'm actually kind of glad of doing this, because I do like the fact that instead, I kind of like the idea of two billionaires having beef and selling in the octagon. I don't know if there's little legitimate beef between the two of them, but I kind of like it. Like, I probably once wishes we brought back duels. Instead of guys, like, you know, talking shit and like sneak attacking people and doing like be really bad stuff and killing, you know, and just like ganging up on people or sneaking up on people. A part of me kind of likes the idea of two people agreeing to duel and fight out, or doing like old school duels. You know, like back in the day with the gun, you walk a couple steps and you shoot. I don't know. Part of me kind of likes that. I know it's kind of weird and crazy. I know it's kind of messed up, but it's better than people like, you know, screwing each other up, screwing each other over. You know, do other means and etc. and being cowardly about it. I don't know. I just find it kind of cool. I kind of like this. And if these two were to fight, I'm going Zuckerberg, because Zuckerberg does train jiu-jitsu, has done jiu-jitsu tournaments. Although I saw a picture of him actually working, doing MMA workouts in the with somebody. I forget who, but he was training MMA. So it's like, okay, Elon's training. But I think Zuckerberg doing jiu-jitsu a lot longer gives him an advantage. You know, not that Zuckerberg's high level, but still, he's competing in jiu-jitsu tournaments. He's doing it. He's actually getting himself involved. And someone that's trained versus someone who doesn't have trained, who has been training a lot longer versus someone else, should always be the favorite. Should usually always beat that person who hasn't trained at all, who's done less training. And plus, he's younger, too. You know, Zuckerberg is smaller than Elon Musk, but still, I mean, I know I'm spending a lot of time talking about this fight, but that who knows may not happen, but I have to. I'm sorry. I gotta do it. I don't care. I'm doing it. Like I said, this does happen. It's the biggest freaking fight in MMA history by far. I know it's just a distraction from other things, but in all grand scheme of things, but still, I'm talking about it. Don't care. I'm talking about it. It needs to be discussed. I mean, this is just crazy, this fight. The fact that it's happening, I mean, if you had told me in the beginning of 2023 that these two were going to fight MMA cage and were serious, Dana White was trying to promote this stuff, I wouldn't have believed you. I would have thought you were crazy. I thought you took some drugs like Jack Dorsey does on Twitter. I mean, It's crazy. I mean, or the former CEO of Twitter. He doesn't own anymore, obviously. Elon does. But still, I mean, man, it's just insanity was going on with this shit. It's just insane. Also, George St. Pierre even offered to train Elon Musk, I believe. I think Elon accepted. I could be wrong. I could sworn I saw something about that. I mean, I could be wrong, but I could sworn I saw that. That's the case. And wow, I mean, everyone in MMA really excited about this. So many people in MMA are excited about this. Want to see it happen too. I mean, so many fighters I see commenting about this wanting this to happen. Room for Elon. I mean, personally, I would hope Elon beat the shit out of Mark Zuckerberg, but I gotta be realistic. It's probably not gonna happen. But if it does happen, I'm definitely gonna talk about it and cover it. I don't care if I got make a solo video. I don't care. I'm doing it because I'm riffing off that stuff. I don't care. But hey, thank you guys for watching and supporting this program. We appreciate the love and support. Thank you guys for watching us on YouTube, Rumble, listening to us on Spotify, and all the audio podcasting platforms, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Reason FM, etc. Like I said, I'm glad to make a video again. Sorry for not making a video for a while. And Chef Dan will definitely be back soon. He's been busy, obviously, doing a lot of things, you know, with work and life and etc. And Chef Dan will definitely be back soon. And can't wait for next weekend. Next weekend is going to be a fantastic weekend for fights. The UFC 290 pay-per-view. And this should be a good weekend, too. I'll be back next week breaking down what happens. Can't talk today. I will be back next week to break down what happened this upcoming weekend and preview UFC 290 International Fight Week. And I'm Austin. Thank you guys for watching and listening. Don't forget to leave a thumbs up and comment your thoughts on the Zuckerberg-Elon situation. Also, what are your thoughts on Taporia? Do you think he has a chance to be a future superstar or star or not? And also, what are your thoughts on Macy Barber? Do you think this is the beginning of a title run, a push for not a title run, but a beginning of a run to the title, rather? If that makes sense, let me know. I look forward to reading your comments, and thank you guys for watching. I'll see you next time. Peace.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are.